Well, it's an honor to be here today, and we sure do give honor to your pastor.
Yes.
And his family. We have done our best to lift this church and your pastor up in our prayers. I know that you all have walked through deep water, are walking through deep water, but I'm glad I've heard it from your pastor and others that the Lord's been with you.
Yes.
And we're going to believe he's going to continue to bring us all the way through.
Right.
All the way through. And so it's an honor. We appreciate everyone that's here, our friends. We appreciate Brother Tommy, Brother Earl, all these that are, we've counted as friends for years. And we just like to come be a blessing to you today. If you turn the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, while you turn and do one, say we appreciate the giving. Didn't come for that. We just came to try to be a blessing. And your pastor reached out and asked us if we would, and it was an honor to be asked.
Yes.
And any time a man asks you to stand in his pulpit, especially while he's not there, it is something, it's a trust that I don't take lightly.
Right.
And we sure do appreciate that. And hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verse number 14. It's your custom. You can stand for the reading of the word. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 14. The Bible says, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matthiah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, I want you to remember that word. Think on that word. Tomorrow, go ye down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, there it is again.
Yes.
Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. I'm going to take that and make a man want to shout. Tomorrow, the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper.
Yes.
And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
And they began to sing and praise the Lord. And the Lord set ambushments and bushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir, and that had come against Judah. And they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped destroy another.
Yes,
Alan, would you lift a hand to heaven and ask the Lord to help us? God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and declare the gospel. God, I ask you, Lord, that you minister today. God, minister this word to this body of believers. God, I pray, Lord, just as a Lord physician prescribes some medication, God, that the Holy Ghost, Lord, could instill it in the heart of every soul that's here today. And God, your word could be established in us and bring forth much fruit. Help us, Lord, we pray.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to preach to us this afternoon simply on tomorrow. Tomorrow. A simple topic, I know. But here's the thing about tomorrow. Tomorrow is an intimidating reality when you think about it. Tomorrow's coming whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Now, I know the Lord could return. And I know that none of us is promised tomorrow. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a tomorrow.
Right.
It's going to happen. And here's the thing about tomorrow is the fact when tomorrow comes, we don't know what it's going to bring with it. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Proverbs 27:1, the Bible says, boast thyself not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Nobody knows what's coming tomorrow. And here's the thing, what makes tomorrow so intimidating is when tomorrow has disappointed us time after time. Can somebody say amen this morning?
Right.
Tomorrow has been a disappointment, has it not?
Tomorrow.
Have you ever got up in the morning and you just couldn't believe what happened in the space of that day? And after tomorrow has disappointed us, and after tomorrow has let us down, and after we've entered into a tomorrow and we've seen what it could be, and we've seen what could happen tomorrow, how many knows it begins to lose some of the excitement about tomorrow?
Right.
Right.
Or we begin to enter into tomorrow with reserve rather than rejoicing. We start entering into tomorrow with pessimism instead of promise.
Yep.
We begin to look at tomorrow as sorrow and with less of a song. But can I tell you here today that is a natural and a normal event sometimes in our life. When sorrow, when suffering, when things begin to come, it begins to cool our hope for tomorrow, or our drive to look into the future, and our desire to wonder what's coming around the bend. It begins to put a damper on that because we get tired of being disappointed by tomorrow.
Right.
Hallelujah. We begin to lose hope in the promise of tomorrow.
Yeah.
We begin to lose hope that there's good things that can happen tomorrow. That things can get better tomorrow. That there can be a brighter day tomorrow because they've had enough of them that have disappointed us.
Right.
Have you ever been disappointed before?
Yes, God.
Been disappointed in what a day brought forth. I thought for sure this would happen. I thought for sure that would happen. But one tomorrow after another disappointed you. And now, if you're not careful, we get to a place where we just want to survive with no promise of tomorrow. I don't know if tomorrow holds any more promise than today has. So I'm not really looking forward to it. But I came to preach to us today about a better tomorrow. I believe we can have a better tomorrow. Don't you? I tell you, I believe we can have a good tomorrow.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
In England in the 1800s, at Christmas time, it was the custom of this village. They would wrap a bunch of presents for all the children of the village. And they'd gather there at the town square, and they'd open these packages. Well, there was a man there, a young man that had a mental problem, a very simple-minded young man. And all growing up, Brother Tommy, he'd got a present at Christmas time. Loved it, looked forward to it, but he was getting older. He's in his 20s now. So he wasn't a kid no more, but that young man didn't really realize that the only people that got the presents was the kids. And just because how simple he was, he had become, over time, kind of become the butt of a lot of practical jokes and cruel things would come this Christmas. Here he is, and he gathers at the town square, and there's this mountain of gifts. And they begin to hand them out. One kid after another's taking their gift. Pretty papers and bows and ribbons, and they're ripping through them and pulling out Tonka trucks and pulling out Barbie dolls and all these different things. And this young man is watching it all, going so excited about the prospect and not realizing it really wasn't for him anymore. And finally, at the last present under the tree, somebody, a miscreant or a little bit of a ruffian, a little child, was going to play a trick on the simple man and takes him this present. And that guy was so excited. He got his present. And he begins to rip through that pretty paper and the package and the bow. And he opens it up to find it was empty. And his heart was crushed.
Oh.
But Brother Tommy, how many times have we started a tomorrow?
Come on now.
And it started so pretty and so beautiful with bows and ribbon and packaging. But when we opened it up, there was disappointment.
Right. Yeah.
I wish that I could come and say disappointments never come when you're saved. That just ain't the truth.
No, right.
Sometimes we open tomorrow, and tomorrow was a disappointment.
Amen.
But can I tell you, just because tomorrow once was a disappointment, we ain't got to lose hope in tomorrow.
Right.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I said, you ain't got to lose hope in tomorrow just because you've been disappointed by some in the past. And I'm telling you, Good Shepherd Holiness Church has been disappointed. I know you have. I know you walked through deep water. I know you're in the midst of it. I know that there's things we prayed and believed and asked God to, and there's questions that we'll never have the answer to. But Brother Tommy, I felt my spirit when I came to preach, to come to preach to us about tomorrow. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, God's still for us. Can you say amen tonight? I said, God is still for His people. God's still for this church. God still has a word, and God still has a plan. God still has a way for this right here. And I believe God can bring some good tomorrows to pass right here in the house of God. Can you say amen today? Well, here in our text that we've read to you, we look at the children of Israel. They've gathered here, and the children of Moab have come up against the children of Judah. And there's others, war across the land. There's an army nobody can even number. Multitudes upon multitudes that have come out against them. And they know they've got to fight this battle. They know they've got an adversary they got to overcome. But can I tell you the picture that we get in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, but it's a picture of some people that are wore out.
Right.
That's it. I can read it to you straight from the Bible. 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For Jehoshaphat the king speaketh, and he says, for we have no might." It means we have no strength. It means we wore plumb out. We're tired and we're weary and we're worn, Brother George. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know what we to do. Neither do we know what to do. God, I'm tired and I don't know what to do, but here's what I want you to look at. But he said, my eyes are still on you. I'm tired, I'm disappointed, I'm weary in the midst of the battle, but my eyes are still on you. Hey, I came to preach to us today about tomorrow. I'm telling you, you can still have hope in tomorrow. It's not wrong to have hope for tomorrow. In spite of the disappointments, in spite of the weariness that you feel in your spirit, I tell you, you can become spiritually tired. Can you say it? You can become spiritually tired. You can become tired in your faith. You can become weary in your worship. You can become tired and weary in the midst of well-doing. But I'm telling you here today, there is still good things that come tomorrow. Brother Earl, there's some immutable truths about tomorrow. And the first truth that we must come to is the fact that God abides in tomorrow. Hey friend, you know why we can look at tomorrow in spite of the fact that we've been disappointed by today, in spite of the fact that things haven't been the way we feel they should have been, and still look forward, it's because God abides in tomorrow. If you read that Bible from cover to cover, you're going to find tomorrow is 50 times in the Word of God it's mentioned. And many of those occurrences are just the mundane. But what I think is incredible is every now and again on a tomorrow that's written, it's not describing just a mundane another day, but rather it is describing a divine intervention that God was going to do something special. And God was going to do something supernatural. In Joshua 3 and 5, the Bible says, sanctify yourself for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. I'm telling you, I know there's some that's just another day. And brother, I know there's some that's just one foot in front of the other. But there's still some wonderful things coming tomorrow, because my God abides in tomorrow. I said, our God abides in tomorrow. He is the eternal God. Can somebody say, I said, He is Elohim, the eternal one. The one that was before the foundations of the world. The one that created all things. And by Him was all things created. That's who our God is. The eternal God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Can I created, and God being eternal God exists outside of the realm of time and space. Time and space was created by God, but they are not a limit to God. Haven't you catch? I said time and space was created by God, but they're not a limit to God. And our God abides in the eternal present. I said our God abides in the eternal present. He looked at them there and he told them this. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I said, he's still the great I am, the eternal present God. The God that abides in the past. He's here in the present. And he's conscious in the future. He abides there. That's my God. I can go forward to tomorrow. In spite of the fact it's disappointed me before. Because it is not the great unknown. Because God abides there. I'm going to where God is. Somebody needs to get up tomorrow morning with no dread for tomorrow, knowing their God abides in tomorrow. I said, your God's already there. He is the great I am. He's already in it. And you can go forward into it with no dread for tomorrow.
Can I lift a hand to heaven and love the Lord? Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I can go into tomorrow with no dread for tomorrow because my God abides there. Hallelujah. Not only is it, can we have a better tomorrow or have confidence in tomorrow because God abides there, but also we can go forward into tomorrow knowing that the mercies of God gives us hope for tomorrow.
Yes, Lord.
Tozer said it like this. He said, mercy is an attribute of God, an indefinite, inexhaustible energy within the divine nature, which disposes God to be actively compassionate towards us. I said, I don't know if you understood that, but he said, it's the inexhaustible energy within his nature that disposes God to be actively compassionate to us. I pray that's what mercy is. It's the nature of God to have mercy on me and upon you. I don't know all the ways and the whys of God, but I'll tell you this. I know that he's full of mercy. And I know the mercy of God causes him to have compassion on me and you. Lamentations 3 and 21. The Bible says, when I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. And when I call to mind the Lord's mercy, I've got hope. Can anybody say it? Because that he's full of mercy, I've got hope. Because of his mercy, I've got hope. Praise the Lord this morning.
Yes, God.
The Lamentations writer goes on. Now listen.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm reading Lamentations.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to understand the context there. This isn't Psalms of praise. This is not Ecclesiastes. This is not Proverbs. This is not books of poetry here. This is the weeping prophet.
Right, right.
And here's what the weeping prophet says. It says, the mercies of God, they are new every morning.
Woo!
Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Wherefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is a good that a man should both hope and quietly wait upon the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you today, we can go to tomorrow because the hope we have, that we serve a merciful God. Like I already said, we never will know the whys and the wherefores. But oh my God, I'm glad I can march into tomorrow knowing that his mercy's brand new for today. I said the mercy of God's brand new on this Sunday afternoon. It's renewing us. It's restoring us. It's reviving us. Oh God, thank you for your mercy here today.
Yes, Lord.
Oh my.
Hallelujah.
You ought to read this when you get more time. Verse 31, we'll just skip through here. For the Lord will not cast off forever.
Right.
But although he causeth grief, yet will he have compassion.
Yeah.
according to the multitudes of his mercy. Yes. Oh, the compassion and the mercy of God gives us hope for tomorrow. I said it's the compassion and the mercy of God. As Sister Stacy allows me to look at tomorrow, in spite of what it's done to me before, in spite of the times I've opened the box and it's been empty, and yet look at it and say, I believe tomorrow's going to be better. I believe tomorrow's going to be a good day for the Good Shepherd Church. I believe tomorrow is going to be a good time for my family. Tomorrow is going to be good for my children, in spite of the empty box I've seen before, because God abides there, and because his mercy's new, I can go forward to tomorrow.
Yes, God.
Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Rich mercy and great love. I want you to know that about your God. Rich mercy and great love is what our God is known for.
Yes.
It's what our God is known for.
Glory, glory.
So not only is God abiding in tomorrow, and his mercy gives us hope for tomorrow, but I want to also tell you that God's help is guaranteed for tomorrow.
Amen.
Guaranteed for tomorrow. Tomorrow is intimidating and daunting. Sometimes due to what it's done for us before, we go into it with trepidation, with trembling hands, with fearful hearts. But I'm telling you by the word of God, I'm telling you God has got help for us tomorrow.
Yes.
In 1 Samuel 11:9, the Bible says, and they said unto the messengers that came, listen, now here's what's going on. The enemy, Nahash and the Ammonites, have come up against Jabesh Gilead. Let me just tell you this about them. That bunch of scoundrels really didn't deserve no help. You think you've done bad, they done worse. I'm just going to leave it there. They wasn't going to fix it to get help because they deserved it. They fixed to get help because they was God's people. That's the only reason why. And that's the only reason why any of us get the help we need. It ain't because of our merit or our goodness. It ain't because we've got the faith. It's simply because of the goodness of God. And the man of God, Saul, told him, he said, you go tell him this. And thou shalt say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. I'm telling you here today, a promise from God. Tomorrow, in all, hallelujah, by the time tomorrow comes, ye shall have help. Why? Because I belong to God. It ain't because of me, it ain't because of what I've done, but because I'm God's, I shall have help. I'm telling you, there's hope and there's help in tomorrow. Somebody lift a hand to heaven, ask the Lord to help us right here. Oh, Lord, would you help us right here this afternoon? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there is hope for us. I came to preach, there's hope for us. There's hope for our homes. There's hope for our children. There is a better tomorrow for the men and the women gathered right here. And I know you have. I know you have. I've heard it. I've heard you testify. I've talked to you in other places. But I'm telling you, this church, and as we bind together to believe God for Brother Jason, I believe we can believe God that there's a better tomorrow for the Painter home. Do you believe that? I believe there is, in spite of everything. We ain't going on without her. We're just going to be with her. Hallelujah. I said we're just going on for Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a better tomorrow in spite of it. Why, preacher? Because God abides there. Because his mercies are going to pick us up every morning. And before the sun gets hot in the afternoon, I'm going to know there's help from God. Hallelujah. I'm going to know there's help from God.
Yeah,
better tomorrow. Oh, there's a tomorrow where your faith can feel strong again.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you right now, when you try to believe God and you go through things, it rocks your faith, it sucker punches you, knocks the wind plumb out of you. But oh, I'm telling you, there's a tomorrow, Brother George, where our faith can be strong. I said your faith can be strong. You kneel down to pray, and you pray with confidence. I said pray with confidence, knowing God. That's what I came to encourage somebody. That's tomorrow for you. Preacher, you don't know where I'm at. You don't know how far God sings from me. You don't know how dry it is at the house. I came to preach to you about a tomorrow where you can have confidence in your prayer again, where you can have faith and believe in God. Well, hallelujah, I'm telling you right now, that's a tomorrow that God has in store for his children. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Shut that up a hold of my time. Preacher, how do I get there?
Come on.
I know where I'm at right now.
Thank you, Lord.
I know the boxes that I've opened, one after another. I know the ribbons I pulled off thinking this is going to be a good day. I know the times I knelt down to pray thinking I'd get a prayer through, and then I wind up just beating my head against the walls, what I feel like. How do I get from where I am now to where you're talking about a better tomorrow? Let me explain it to you right here by the text that I read to you.
Come on.
Now the text we read in verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. What's that? What's the preacher saying? Now, Jehaziel, yeah. I want to draw you to Jehaziel was a nobody from nowhere. You ain't going to find nothing special about it. Jehaziel was just a man that God moved on. And listen, can I tell you, sometimes we get so much emphasis, and I believe you ought to honor the ministry. I believe you ought to give honor where honor's due. But sometimes if in order for us to keep going, we feel like somebody's got to lay their hand on us, speak a word to us. But I'm going to tell you, Hazel was a nobody from nowhere that just heard the word from God. And when the people heard it, they said, it's enough for me. And Hazel gets to speaking the word. And the word of God is this. It ain't just a man anymore. But rather the man of God said this, tomorrow, go ye down against him. What is he saying, preacher?
Yeah,
he's saying, you got to show up tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's it. You want a better tomorrow. You want to have a tomorrow that's got hope and promise and begin to build and take ground and you got to show up.
Come on.
You got to show up for tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
That ain't a lot, is it? He didn't tell them, you got to go recruit more soldiers. You got to move over here and put the troops there, put the horses. He didn't tell them to do that. He said, you just got to show up tomorrow. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them that is at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And now notice this. Ye shall not need to fight this battle.
Yeah.
You ain't got to fight this battle, but notice what it says, but set yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What's he saying here? God put his word on Jehaziel and said, you're going to have to face it, but you ain't going to have to fight it. I wish somebody say amen today. You're going to have to face it, but you ain't going to have to fight it. How many things have we dreaded about tomorrow? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen then? What's going to happen now? But oh my God, I'm just going to have to show up. How many believe you can show up tomorrow? I'm going to show up believing God. Have the enemy says you'll be overcome by, you don't understand. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to face it. God said just show up. Hey, set yourself. Stand still. Come up and get your feet planted and see what I'll do about tomorrow. You're going to have to face it.
Yes, God.
You ain't going to have to fight it.
Come on.
We spend so much time worrying about tomorrow and thinking what will happen if this happens and that happens, or what's the new normal going to be, or what's this and what's that. Can I tell you right now, there's battles and there's problems and there's fear and scenarios that we have in our mind, that I'm telling you, you ain't gonna have to fight that if you just show up. Hey, don't worry about tomorrow. The Bible tells us that you take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. Just show up. He told you, just show up. Hey, just show up for tomorrow. Just come back to church next service. Hey, just get up in the morning and say, I serve the risen Savior. Hey, go back to prayer one more time and say, God, I still love you and I'm going to serve you all my life. Hey, get up and sing one more song and say, in the sweet by and by. Hey, get behind a guitar, strum another G chord and say, in that great getting up morning. Hallelujah, that's what you got to do. You got to show up. I said, when you show up, God will show out. I said, when you show up, God will show out. And God will do what we can't do. to show up.
That's it. That's
you say, preacher, what are you even talking about?
Come on.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
We get in a fall.
Holy Lord.
We get in a slump.
Man, that's it.
We get down.
That's it.
And I don't know about you, but there's been times, there's been weeks on me and Brother Earl Dishman that I was there, but I wasn't showing up.
Come on.
Hallelujah. I had pulled into myself.
Right.
I had closed the doors and shut the shutters, and I was somewhere deep inside. Hallelujah. Nobody may even realize it, but I wasn't showing up.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you what that is. That's a natural, normal reaction. The hurt and pain, that's what's normal. And what's not normal is you saying, God, even in spite of what I've seen, what I feel, what my heart is doing right now, I'm going to show up and try to be like Job. And the Bible says, after all of this, Job fell on his face and worshiped God. Job showed up. What's so special about Job? He wasn't just perfect. You read through the rest of the book, he struggled at times, but Job kept showing up. I said he kept showing up. And you get down to the 47 and the chapters, and you'll find that God showed up. And Job showed up. And God showed up. Thank God in heaven, there's still a good thing coming tomorrow.
Amen.
Yes, God. Sometimes you just got to show up. There's going to be more come about if you say, well, I don't know if it did any good for me, preacher. I listened to a man preach one time. And he talked about when he's in college, he was failing Spanish miserably, horribly, and just doing it, just bombing it. And come at the end of the semester, was right at Thanksgiving, and a day before the Thanksgiving break, the teacher announced tomorrow, We got the final exam over the whole, and this final exam is pass or fail. Everybody, half the class had already left, half the class couldn't make it, was leaving that evening, and she said, "Do what you want, just pass or fail. You got a test tomorrow." That preacher said, "I knew I was failing." She said, "I figured I might as well show up. Maybe I get a little brownie point just showing up. Maybe that'll do me some good." He said he walked in. There was only about four or five of them in that class. And that teacher sat down behind her desk, pulled out her notebook, and she set it down, flipped the spiral cover over, and set an ink pen on it. And she said, "All right, everybody that's here, come up here and sign your name on the notebook." They started signing their name. They stood there. They said, "Are we ready for the exam?" She said, "That was the exam. If you just showed up, everybody got an A+ for just showing up." I tell you, that's what it happens sometimes. There's been more than once that I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve to feel what I was feeling. I didn't deserve the goodness of God I was experiencing. But I just showed up one more time. And God put his stamp of approval on it. I just went back to prayer another day. And glory came in that prayer closet. I opened that Bible one more time. And tears ran down my eyes. Because I showed up tomorrow. And God was there. And glory came in the midst of us. Oh, help me, Lord.
You
got to show up.
Yeah, Lord.
You got to show up. Show up for tomorrow. Preacher, what about when I don't feel no more spiritual than a hiccup? Hallelujah, when I feel like I'm so far from God, just show up.
Right.
Hallelujah, do what you know to do.
Right.
Brother George, marks by faith, believe in God. Hallelujah, go back to the same thing you've always done. And keep saying, "God, I'm doing this for worship. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing that's what we're doing here on a Sunday afternoon, ain't it? We're doing this for God. We're doing this for God. Believe in God for greater things. Hallelujah, when you feel like you couldn't get a prayer through since you don't know when. Hallelujah, knows you just got to show up one more time tomorrow. Hallelujah, when your prayer life is drier than a 2-year-old's bird nest. Just show up. Hallelujah, whenever your faith feels so fragile. And one gust of wind will blow you away. You got to show up one more time. Hallelujah, you got to pray again. Hallelujah, when your questions and disappointments and frustration are just too much, just keep showing up.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to tell you what. You're going to be amazed that the God of tomorrow has got good things. I said he's got good things in store for his children.
Hey, Lord.
It's got good things in store for his children. The end of the text is one where God brings deliverance to his people. And what I want to draw your attention to is what a difference a day can make. Now you see, on this particular day when the text started, they're standing there looking at a problem. They think there's no way.
Yeah.
We're never getting past that. We're never getting beyond it. We're never getting through it. We're never getting past it. It ain't happening. Look at them. They're like the sand of the sea. They're everywhere. But oh, they begin to hear from God. And God said, just show up tomorrow. What? The king said, we're going to put singers and worshipers out. And we're going to magnify the Lord. We're going to praise him. That his mercy endures forever. Can anybody say the mercy of God endures forever? I said the mercies of God endure forever. And they begin to sing about the mercy of God. They begin to meditate on the goodness of God. They begin to glorify God. And God put ambushments against the enemy. And one day made all the difference. They didn't anticipate that kind of tomorrow. But God showed up and showed out. I tell you what a difference one day can make. Hallelujah. What a difference.
Yay, Lord.
What a difference.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. My wife's not here. Somebody hit me on the piano. Holy. I sure would appreciate it.
Holy.
What a difference one day can make.
Holy.
What a difference. Oh, I know one day can bring great tragedy and loss. And I'm telling you, one day in your soul can bring great healing and great grace. Hey, let me leave you this scripture right here. This has ministered to my heart so much. And I'll just read a portion of John 1 and 6. It talks about grace upon grace.
Yeah.
And if you read into that, begin to look at that. That's talking about, it's alluded to like the ocean. You ever been to the ocean? You don't just get one wave at the ocean, but rather get wave on top of wave, Brother Earl, just wave after wave.
Yeah.
One wave ain't gone before the other wave's coming in. Grace upon grace. That's the same picture about grace upon grace. Wave after wave after wave after wave of grace. How would I like to have a tomorrow that's just wave after wave after wave of grace? I tell you what, I believe in that. And you know what? I'm going to show up for that. I believe we'd show up for that. God, I'm going to stand up and believe God for that.
Yes, Lord.
I'll leave you this story right here.
No.
There was a man, wealthy man, friends with an old country preacher back hundreds some years ago. And as that wealthy man came down to die, he left all of his money to that country preacher. Left it in a trust, had a mutual friend. And he said, when I die, he said, you take care of that preacher. You take care of him. Well, the old rich man passed away. And as he passes away, that mutual friend realized, if I take that old preacher all this money, he won't know what to do with it. He's never seen this much money in his whole life. He wouldn't have a clue what to do with it. He said, and I know him, he'll probably just give it all away, and he won't take care of it. He said, I know what I'll do. And what that guy would do, that mutual friend, he'd get up every Monday morning, go down to the bank. Tell you how long ago was he'd get $10 out of the bank.
Yeah.
He'd put it in an envelope. And he'd write on it anonymous. Nobody knew who it was. He'd just anonymously write on the envelope, more to follow, and send it in the mail. And that old preacher, for the rest of his life, he'd go to the mailbox on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, and he didn't know where it came from. He didn't know who was doing it. He didn't know why it was coming. But he'd open the mailbox, there'd be an envelope. He'd open the envelope, $10, and the note, more to follow. I'm telling you what, that's the type of grace God's got for us. Wave upon wave of grace. More to follow. Brother George, that's what we need.
Yes.
When I get up in the morning, when I get up tomorrow morning, I need to open an envelope. And I need to see more to follow.
Thank you, Lord.
More to follow. Tomorrow. You don't have to dread tomorrow. You don't have to dread tomorrow. God abides in tomorrow. Mercies of God gives us hope for more lamentation till because I know him at his mercy. I got hope for tomorrow.
Amen.
Holy, holy.
And he promised tomorrow by the time the sun be hot, you shall have help.
Thank God.
I tell you what I got to do, preacher. You just going to show up.
Yeah.
Keep showing up. I thank God for this church right here that's kept showing up.
Yes.
You say, preacher, I wish I could have done a lot more for all this. I'm telling you what you've done. You just showed up.
Yes.
God's seen that faithfulness. You feel like, oh, I ain't done nothing. I'm telling you what you've done. You just showed up. God's seen it. God's noted it. You just keep showing up. See what God won't do.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. She's playing. Oh, don't you feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house? Don't you feel the Spirit of God? I'll tell you, I love seeing God minister to somebody right here today. Hey, listen, I love seeing the Lord come by and minister. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see God touch somebody's heart right here in this altar call? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a tomorrow. Hallelujah, for the people of God. It's not wrong to look forward to tomorrow.
That's right.
It's not wrong. It's not bad. You just say, God, I'm going forward with you. I'm going to keep showing up. Hey, what about tonight? Could you come? Could you come around this altar and ask the Lord to help us? Ask the Lord to move in this house today. Oh, God. Lord, I'm going to show up. I'm going to keep showing up, Lord. I know that you're good. I know you're good. I know you're good. In spite of everything, in spite of my disappointment, in spite of my misunderstanding, in spite of all this, I'm going to keep showing up, Lord. I know that tomorrow's not as intimidating when you're in the midst of it, Lord. Oh, you are my great I am. You abide there, Lord. And as I walk into tomorrow, God, I know that you'll be with us. God, your mercy gives me hope for tomorrow. Oh, God, you promised me help for tomorrow. And God, I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep showing up, Lord.
Some